Greetings to each one. Good to be in the house of the Lord again. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come to you at this part of the service. We ask for your presence with us here as we look into your word. Pray that you would make it come alive to us. Pray that you would bring those thoughts to my mind, and that you would have to be shared. So, Lord, we look to you. Our expectation is in you. Pray that you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been a blessing to be here to see how the service has been unfolding. Let's turn, if you want to, for a beginning verse in Psalm 1 in our prayer time on Wednesday evening. This verse was used, and I'd like to start here and probably end up here at the end as well. So, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Title is Delighting in God's Law. But I'd like to focus on the word law. What is our first response? What in our flesh, put it that way, in our flesh, what is it that we hear law? What does it do to us?
Restraint.
That's what it is. It's restraint. Do we like restraint in our flesh? We don't like restraint. So law makes us squirm a little bit. I guess that's the way I was thinking about it. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So what is law? Law is a system of rules created by a governing authority that regulates behavior, establishes justice, ensures a peaceful society, and it's enforced by penalties. So that doesn't sound all that bad, does it? System of rules created by a governing authority that regulates behavior, establishes justice, ensures a peaceful society, enforced by penalties. So here it says, delight in the law of the Lord. Law has many different it needs to be interpreted by context, okay? Law here, the law, what do we think of in the Old Testament? What is the law? What's the Old Testament law?
Law of Moses.
Law of Moses, okay? We could go two ways with that. Ten Commandments is the law, right? We have the first five books of the Bible as the law. The law is Torah. That name ring a bell, Torah, that word. Torah is the first five books of Moses. That's the Hebrew word, Pentateuch. I don't know if that's pronounced right. That is the Greek word for the first five books of Moses. That is the law. So that was Moses' law. You could expand that and say the Old Testament is law and the New Testament is grace, okay? Law. That still thinking about that part, that it goes against our flesh. Law. Let's think about law. What is it that makes us squirm a little bit? It goes against what we would like. There's some things that are maybe unreasonable laws. Maybe there's some ordinances, local ordinances, that are unreasonable. So that helps us to get to that point of squirming a little bit. But it's there to give direction. It's probably a good reason. So not all law is bad. What does it say in... Okay, let's turn to Galatians. What was the law for? The law was what? Galatians 3 and verse 24. Let's start in verse 22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So the law, the Old Testament, served a purpose. It was to bring us to the point of saying, I need help, and I'm not able to find it in the Old Testament law. To bring us to Christ. Christ is the answer. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was good, but there was more. Chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So our justification comes through Christ, not by things that we do, but it's our belief in Him. Let's turn to John 1. John 1. Let's look at verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law set up rules, regulations, meaning the Old Testament, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And let's back up to verse 14. This is the one I really like. And the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. The Word is logos. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Christ was the Word. The Word was made flesh. Okay, the Word was made flesh. We had something spoken. We had It's more than just what was spoken, but it was the idea that was included in what was spoken. So it's more than just want something that was spoken or written. It included the body of thought around it. I guess that's the way to say it. Full of grace and truth. Now, what I would like to do... Okay, one more thought on the Logos. Logos was the written word. And then we have Rhema, which is something, a revelation from God through His Spirit, saying, enlightening the Logos, oftentimes. So that is the Old Testament law, the New Testament picture of Christ, the Logos and Rhema. I guess the direction we're going is, we're going to go to the book of Romans and look at the law and there's many different laws, okay? I'll just say that. There's laws of around us. Law of gravity. We're familiar with the law of gravity. What happens if we let go of something? It falls. That's a law. Something that don't change. We know it always is going to do that. That's something about law too, is it does not change. So it's amazing. We'll get there later. We get up over to chapter 7 and 8. How many different laws are there? I would like to just go through and just notice the law. It's talking about those that were Jews had a difficult time changing their thinking on circumcision was a big thing. They were hanging on to circumcision. It's got to be circumcised. And they were pushing it on the Gentiles. I did not realize how much is in Romans over that issue. So we have the law, the Old Testament law. We have the law of sin and death, and we have the law of God, or the law of the Spirit. And I'd like to look at those two aspects as we go through the book of Romans. There's a law of abiding in Christ. There's something that goes along with it. We abide in Christ, there will be this and that. There will be the blessing of God on our lives. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. That's just, as we go through, think about the Old Testament law and the law of God. Romans 1, 16 to 18. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We'll stop reading there. We have the righteousness of God, and we have the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So we have the two contrasts. There is a law that says, if you're in this camp, it's going to be this way. If you're in the other camp, it's going to be otherwise. Let's see if we could follow that through. Chapter 2, verse 8. I see, let's start in verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Those that seek glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life is what is given. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, what do we have? Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there's no respect of persons with God. The point he's making here is, it's not whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, but it is your life that you've lived. Being contentious, obeying, not obeying the truth, but unrighteousness, indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish is going to come upon you. That's one of the laws, if you want to put it that way. Glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. So, Jew, it works that way. Gentile, it works that way. It's not circumcision. It's our life. Chapter 3. As it is written in verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The way of sin and death. That's the law of sin and death is going to be the end of these people. Reading on. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that is one thing law does. It makes us knowledgeable as to what sin is. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need Christ. We all need a Savior. All have sinned. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So there's the key, believing in Christ. So where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but the law of faith. So there we have another law, the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. So faith is the key, not circumcision or not uncircumcised. We establish the law. Chapter 4. We have the example of Abraham. Verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So it was the believing that put the endorsement of righteous upon him. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So that is the key. Down to verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. So the law brings us to the knowledge of sin. Therefore it is of faith that we might have grace, might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay, let's drop down to chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, justified by what? Faith. Justified by faith. And there's one other. Okay, verse 1, we have peace. That's another thing to notice. We have peace with God. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. It showed us what an offense is. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. Drop down to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we want the blessing of God upon our lives. We will be turning our hearts to him and believing in him and obeying him and not serving sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Down to verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So what's the difference? What's the difference between being under the law or under grace? What would be? What does the law do?
So the law gives the it tells you what you need to do, but does not give you the ability. Grace gives you the ability.
Right, that's the difference. The law shows you that you're a sinner, but it doesn't give you what you need to overcome. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit then had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, in the end everlasting life. So there we have the fruit. Being in Christ, abiding in Christ. The fruit unto holiness, in the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have the law of sin and death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Then we go into chapter 7, which is, here we have, again, different laws popping up, which was interesting. I think we're going to read it and make a few comments as we go. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. So the law doesn't change. Has dominion as long as he lives. The example here is a woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband. That the vow, husband and wife. As long as they're both alive, that vow stands. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So the picture is, we need to die to our flesh, to self, to the big I that we heard about this morning. We die to that and we're married to Christ. But it doesn't work to say that we're partners of both. It don't work. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. He's looking at the ceremonial law. By the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Newness of spirit, New Testament, and the oldness of the letter is Old Testament. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. So the law showed him what it was to lust, have not, shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. So before there was law, there was not that knowledge of sin. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. So God meant it for life. To him, it was death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. So the law was good, but it didn't have what it needed to help us overcome. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. So God is showing us how sinful that sin is. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So here we have a struggle. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. We have the big I is in, there's enmity between the two. For that which I do, I allow not. So I'm doing something that I don't want to do. What I hate that I do. So his mind is thinking one thing, but his actions are doing something else. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. If I do that which I would not, if I do that which I think I shouldn't do, I consent. The law is showing me that it is bad. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, the law of sin and death. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. So what makes that this is a problem? He is, where does it say it? I am carnal, sold under sin. I think that's the answer in verse 14. I am carnal. So the carnal man was in charge. For the good that I would not, that I do. The evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So it is the carnal man that's in control. I find a law that when I do good, evil is present with me. Here's another law. The law of the carnal and the spiritual. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. What law is that? The carnal man. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. I want to do what is right, but I'm not able to in my own strength. And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There we have the law of sin. The law of the carnal man. Oh, wretched man that I am. I want to do one thing and I'm doing something else. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's living in death because the flesh was in predominant. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So we have the law of God. Now, going on into chapter 8. And this just, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Where does the condemnation come from?
Knowledge of sin.
So the condemnation is gone. That, to me, is exciting. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. If we have Jesus is in control of our lives, the condemnation is gone. If we're living according to our flesh, our carnal man, then there is condemnation. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who do not allow that flesh to be in control. What do we do with that flesh? I'm jumping ahead here. We'll get to it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now we're getting to where God wanted us. That's what God wanted by giving the law, righteousness. The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So which law are we subjecting ourselves to? Spiritually minded, life and peace. Let's back up a little bit. We went over this one a little bit quickly. Verse 2, I like the phrase, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Can we get all that? That's a lot said. The law of the Spirit of life. Law of the Spirit of life. What's one of the laws of the Spirit of life? Abiding in Him. In the Spirit of life. In Christ Jesus. It is in Christ. Made me free from the law of sin and death. What's the law of? The law of sin. I like to look at it that way. What's the law of sin? Death. That's the outcome of that law. Verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So there we have the struggle of chapter 7 answered. Christ be in you, the body is dead. That part that wants to, that always does, pops up and wants to, it does something opposite of what we want to do. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Your mortal bodies will receive life to live above what the flesh wants to do. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So when the Spirit pops his head, or when the flesh pops his head up, we need to put to death the deeds of the body. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So where shall we stop? We are adopted into his family. That's what comes next. Let's go to chapter 9. Do a few stops along the way. Chapter 9, verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So Israel was attempting to live up to the law, that law of righteousness, but they didn't attain it. Because of what? It was not by faith. They were doing it by circumcision, works. So here's where Paul's heart was. Chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. I guess just pause long enough to say, sometimes we can fall into that. We try to work out something in our own flesh, in our own, by ourselves, by our own strength, and it don't work. The righteousness is by faith. We look to him, and he gives it to us. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So there we have it. Confess, believe, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We will stop there. So as we have gone through the book of Romans, we didn't do the last number of chapters here, but we see the law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, or the law of God. Jeremiah 31, 33. Familiar verses, but it fits well here. Jeremiah 31. And let's start in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Isn't that amazing? Written on stone or written in the heart? We get to be recipients of that. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a blessing. There's another one, just one to mention here. What is the royal law? There is a royal law that is given. Royal law in James 2. Right. Love is the royal law. Just another law to think about. Now, to wrap it up, let's go back to Psalm 1. So which law are we walking in or after? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the law of sin and death. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Law of sin and death. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Delight. Do we have delight in the law of the Lord? In his law doth he meditate day and night. Are we delighting in... Now we looked at law. Now we can say law wouldn't be the scriptures, but we can look at law as being God's law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Whatever's connected with walking with God. Delighting in the law of the Lord. He shall be like a tree. This is one of the, could we say, here we have some laws of life. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that shall bring forth his fruit in his season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The opposite, the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Back to those that love the Lord. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God is familiar with us in a very intimate way. Those that are turning their hearts to him. His delight is in the law of the Lord, walking in his ways. Those that can, Would we kneel for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we come to you at the close of this message. We want to thank you for your word. Thank you for your provisions that you have given to us, that we can be your sons and daughters. And thank you that it is open to all, not just the Jews, but through the Gentiles as well. Whosoever will may come and be a part. So Lord, thank you for your law. Thank you for the provisions that you have made. And Lord, help us to walk in your ways, be obedient to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.